We've been doing a series on our core values as a congregation. What are those core convictions that make us who we are as a church? Those things that define us, those intangibles, those things that you cannot take away without changing the very fabric of who we are. And this morning we come to a very important one, and that is the Word of God, our commitment to the authority of Scripture. And so read with me as we open our Bibles, follow along. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 1 to 5. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Let us pray. Father God, again, we thank you for the blessing of your word. And as we open its pages this morning, Lord, we pray that you would instruct us, show us the things that are important. Lord, as a congregation, remind us of what it is that we stand for and why it is so important to us. Lord, we thank you that this is a Bible teaching church, and we pray that it always will be. We pray that your message would mightily sound forth each and every Sunday and in all of our ministries, that we would be a beacon of light in our community, sounding forth the truth of your word. And so, Lord, speak to us through these verses today. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, over the last couple of days, much of the country has been gearing up for severe weather. A massive ice storm has been moving over the plains and part of the Midwest. Thankfully, I think that we're mostly in the clear. It hasn't really hit us yet. Maybe I hear possibly a little bit tonight, but not like the storm we had several years ago. I guess in some parts of the country, they were calling for more than half an inch of ice, which they were saying is enough to cause lots of damage, to bring down branches and uproot trees and take down power lines and knock out electricity for an extended period of time. And so the forecasters were urging people to be prepared, to stock up on basic supplies and make sure to have batteries, flashlights, and candles, because you always need that when the power is out. And I remember going through that ice storm, several years ago, and that terrible darkness that would fall when evening came. And there were no street lamps outside. And in the neighborhood, the houses, as you look down the street, were dark. You just couldn't flip the switch. And you could, but nothing happened. The best you could do is light a couple of candles and let the warm glow pierce through the shadows. And that was different. It was like, we're spoiled today in our modern world. It was like roughing it, being back in the old days. That was tough. But in this dark world that we live in, Scripture tells us that we have a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We have the Word of God. And it reveals to us the Savior and shows us how to enter a relationship with God. It guides us in the ways that we ought to go. It shapes us more and more into the holy people that we're called to be. Throughout the centuries, the voice of the Lord has echoed through the pages of Scripture, calling out to humanity, and it is still touching hearts and changing lives today. Some people imagine that the Bible is an outdated, archaic, obsolete book, having been written so long ago, but they couldn't be more wrong. On the contrary, it is the most relevant book that you could ever read. It addresses the greatest problems that we have. and it ministers to our deepest needs. It brings hope to the hopeless, and it has the power to mend broken lives. Yes, the Bible might clash with contemporary culture. It might offend modern ears, but that doesn't make it any less true. God's truth never fades. If the Bible is God's word, then the church must proclaim it. And we gather here each week searching the scriptures so that we can grow in our knowledge of the Lord. That's one of the core values, as I mentioned, of our church. And we make no apologies for being a Bible-teaching church because we're convinced that this is no ordinary book. It is the Word of God without error, and it is the ultimate authority for our lives. In our passage this morning, Paul reminds the young pastor, Timothy, to stay true to his calling. Paul was an aging apostle as he wrote this letter. He was in the city of Rome, in prison, awaiting the outcome of his trial. He was nearing the end of his life. The Lord had indicated to him that it would not be long before he departed from this world and entered the realm of glory. And so he wanted to use the remaining time that he had left to instill words of wisdom into church leaders. He was passing the baton, and he wanted others to carry that torch faithfully as he had done. And so he calls Timothy to remain faithful, preaching the word of God. There would certainly be times when it seemed as if no one was listening, and it would not always make him popular with the world around him. But that didn't matter. Paul urged him to press on and fulfill his ministry. These are timely words for us today as well. God has entrusted his word and the message of the gospel to the church, and we're called to proclaim it. It can be intimidating to speak the truth, especially in a world that often doesn't want to hear. But whether anyone is listening or not, that is our calling. First of all, we are to preach with conviction. We're to preach the word of God with conviction. If you were to read the book of Acts and look at all of Paul's sermons, or if you were to read the letters of Paul and examine his teaching style, you would see that he was a very passionate preacher. He wasn't timid or wishy-washy or hesitant. He was fully persuaded that the message he shared was true and it had the power to change lives. Well, how could he be so sure? Because he knew where he had gotten his information. He wasn't just preaching worldly wisdom. He wasn't sharing popular opinion. He wasn't giving his own personal perspective, but he was proclaiming the words of God. And he wanted Timothy to do the same thing. In verse 2, he tells him, preach the word. Timothy, do you want to know what types of sermons you are to preach every Sunday? Biblical sermons. Timothy, do you want to know what sources to use as you study throughout the week? Make sure you open the Bible above all else. Only then will you have a message that is worth sharing. Every time a preacher opens his mouth, whether he's addressing a group of believers or a crowd of people who do not yet know the Lord, he can speak with conviction so long as he's sharing the timeless truth of Scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "For this reason we constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." When Paul had visited that city of Thessalonica years earlier and he had shared the gospel, there were people who listened, and they understood that this wasn't, you know, just the ideas of a traveling preacher, but there was something more to it than that. You know, it wasn't the word of Paul. It was the word of God that they were hearing, and so they came to believe. Paul was thankful for that. He reminds us that the effectiveness of a sermon doesn't rest on the eloquence of the preacher, but on the power of God's word. And that's encouraging for all of us, not just for missionaries or pastors or evangelists, but if your children come to you and ask spiritual questions, you don't have to be anxious. How do I respond? You know, if a coworker wants you to explain your faith, you don't have to worry. You know, what am I going to say? Just point them to God's word and allow God to speak to their hearts. There are three terms that Christians should be familiar with as we think about our confidence in Scripture. Inspiration, inerrancy, and infallibility. Inspiration has to do with the source of the Scriptures. God is the divine author who spoke through the various human writers to produce the 66 books of the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "All Scripture is inspired by God." All Scripture is God-breathed. It was breathed out by the Lord through the authors so that we can hear the very words of God. Could there be a more reliable source than that? Inerrancy has to do with the contents of Scripture. The Bible is reliable. It is without error in everything that it affirms. It always tells the truth on any subject that it addresses. Now, the Bible doesn't address every subject. You know, we wish sometimes that we had more insight on this or that, but everything that the Bible does tell us is true. The passage that Jeff read earlier in the service in Psalm 12 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace on the earth, refined seven times." Well, how pure is that? Exceedingly pure, perfectly pure, without any speck or blemish or fault. There's not a hint of deceit because God does not lie, and the Bible is the Word of God. And the third word is infallibility, and that has to do with the endurance of Scripture. There's not a single prophecy that will be overturned or a single promise that will fail because God's word cannot be broken. Matthew 5:18 says, "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished." You know, if you were to go to the grocery store this week, as you're standing in the checkout line waiting, you know, to pay, they have different periodicals and magazines there. What do we have? Time, Newsweek, People, maybe a newspaper. The Ada Herald might be close by, or the Lima News. And then there's always, you know, a couple of different ones like the Weekly World News or the National Enquirer. The ones that have some fun headlines like "Bat Boy Found in Cave," you know. And as you look at those different sources, you realize that some are more reliable than others. You know, you're more apt to take seriously what you read in the Ada Herald or the Lima News than, you know, the National Enquirer. You know, did they really find a bat boy in a cave? Probably not, and I'm sure that picture isn't real. It kind of looks a little photoshopped. But some sources are more reliable than others. You just take them seriously. You know that they're trustworthy. But what could be a more reliable, more reputable source than the God of creation? He's the author. And so we can rely on everything that we find in His Word. Someone has said that the Bible is none other than the voice of Him that sitteth upon the throne. Every book of it, every chapter of it, every syllable of it, every letter of it is the direct utterance of the Most High. We can trust the Bible. Our passage this morning also calls us to preach the word, not just with conviction, but also with urgency. Preach the word. Preach it with urgency. Again, 2 Timothy 4:2 says, "Preach the word in season and out of season." In other words, always, constantly, on every occasion, when people are eager to listen, and when no one wants to hear what you have to say. Don't waste a single opportunity that the Lord gives you to tell others about Him. Why? Well, because time is short. Tomorrow isn't guaranteed. One of these days, the Lord is going to call us home. If you're to read on in the passage, we see that Paul's time on this earth was quickly coming to a close. The Lord had indicated to him that it wouldn't be long before he departed from this world and entered the realm of glory. And Paul was ready to go. He wasn't looking back and saying, oh boy, I wish I had more time to go there or to see these people or, you know, to talk to that church or, you know, to share the faith here. You know, he didn't look back with regret like that because he took advantage of every opportunity God gave him. We only have a limited number of days to impact our world, and so we need to make them count. We also need to make sure to take advantage of every opportunity because we don't know how long it will be until the Lord returns. Scripture says that God is exceedingly patient and he's not wishing for any to perish, but there is a day coming when the Lord will come to judge the earth. And when that day comes, we will no longer be in a position to influence those around us. And we need to take advantage of every opportunity because it isn't going to get any easier. As we read on in verses 3 and 4, Paul says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths." Paul's not being pessimistic here, he's being realistic. God gave him insight into the future, you know, what's in store down the road at the end of the age. And we see that things are not going to get easier. A time is coming when people will no longer put up with sound doctrine. They won't have any interest in the Word of God. They'll dismiss the historic Christian faith for a more agreeable message. They will not, this isn't just going to be the case out there in the unbelieving world, but that attitude is going to seep into churches all across the world. Now, we would expect to face hostility out there, but Paul says, expect it to come here as well. People won't want to hear about the truth. They'll want to define their own truth. The gospel will no longer go forth from many pulpits where it had once been fearlessly proclaimed, but instead a new gospel will come. One that makes people feel good, but says nothing about sin. Congregations will be captivated by the smooth talk of preachers who tell them what they want to hear. And the passage talks about those who have itching ears. And that made me think about Bentley, our dog, you know, the little dog, you know, and he loves to jump up in my lap. And he'll sit there for hours and hours as long as I rub his belly or itch his ears, you know, scratch his back. He just kind of loves that. He'll just kind of lay there, you know. Do dogs grin? I'm sure he's grinning. You know, if I'm scratching his ears. But you know what? As soon as I talk about flea medicine, you know, I think he understands. He's hiding. I don't want that. You know, if we talk about a bath, you know, he's not so fond of that either. He'll sit there for hours if I scratch his ears, but, you know, otherwise he's gone. And that's the kind of listeners that will fill many churches. So long as the preacher entertains and tells them what they want to hear and makes them feel good about themselves, they will be satisfied. But any preacher who dares to step on toes by speaking the truth of God will not be tolerated. He will be mocked and ignored and dismissed. People do not want to feel convicted, and so there's no longer any talk of sin or redemption. People find the exclusive claim of the gospel offensive, and so they embrace another message that all roads lead to heaven. They only want to speak about the love of Jesus, but ignore all of the passages where Jesus calls people to repentance and faith. They're embarrassed by the idea that God is a righteous judge. They want to talk about God as someone who's there to make our wishes come true. And I don't think Paul is talking about a day that is a long ways off, far from now. I think he's talking about today. That is the world that we are living in. Sadly, this is the case in far too many churches throughout the world. Thousands of sermons are being preached this morning, but many of them are void of any real substance. Some of them may even talk about moral things. They may advocate for good values. And yet the Word of God is notoriously absent. The Bible might be carried up to the pulpit, but it is seldom read. May that never be the case here in this pulpit, if this is the environment that we increasingly find ourselves in, then there's no time to waste. We have to preach God's word with urgency because we know that there aren't many opportunities left. The passage also tells us that we are to preach the word of God, not just with conviction, not just with urgency, but also with patience. The second half of verse 2 goes on to say, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with great patience and instruction. We don't just listen to sermons for the sake of gaining knowledge. As we open the pages of the Bible, we are inviting God to work. We're listening to the counsel of His Word and asking for the Holy Spirit to apply what we read to our hearts, to shape us to be more and more like Jesus. The goal is not information alone, but transformation. No matter how long we've been sitting in the pews, no matter how many times we've read the Bible from front to back, cover to cover, there's always room for us to grow. Even Paul would say, it's not that I've already attained it, but I press on, reaching for the prize of the upward call of God. Scripture has a way of convicting us when we go astray. It exposes areas in our lives that have not yet been surrendered to God. The Bible warns us of potential dangers, kind of like the brightly colored road signs as you're driving along the highway. You know, the big red sign, wrong way, do not enter, one way. And God's Word also identifies potential pitfalls and tells us where there are snares that will entangle us and cause us much grief. God's Word also encourages us to stay the course and tells us, don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Look at how God has proved Himself faithful in the past, and that's the same God who's in your life working today. As we come to God's Word, a wonderful prayer would be, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139. Verses 23 and 24. The Bible does not simply offer good advice to us that people can either follow or dismiss as they choose. God is showing us how we ought to conduct our lives. If we are to be His people, if we are to make a difference and honor Him with our lives, those who brush aside His instructions do so to their own peril. Whenever God's word is preached, people are challenged to respond in some way. God's word is challenging us. We may have faulty ideas that need to be questioned. We may have a stubborn attitude that needs to be confronted. This is not always pleasant work, and so Paul reminds the preacher to go about it with a great deal of patience. It's not that he's telling us to shy away from touchy subjects, but we are to speak the truth in love. You can't just use the Bible to club somebody over the head and expect that to change them. We speak the truth in love and allow God to work through His Holy Spirit. Whether you're sharing the gospel with somebody who doesn't know Christ, or maybe talking to a friend about a problem, we can't make people see things the way they are, but we pray and we wait and we allow God to work and we're faithful. So don't be discouraged when there's not instant results. Remember that God is working even when you cannot see it. It may take time for that message to sink in, to break through the barriers that we create around our hearts. But God is working as we are faithful to share His word. The Spirit is working in ways that we cannot see. I was reading recently about a man who was walking along a rugged hillside, and he noticed that there was a tiny stream trickling down and dripping over a ledge onto a boulder below. And as the man got closer, he was surprised at that rock. It looked so huge and so massive and so immovable. But there was an impression where the stream had been dripping. And actually, that boulder had started to be hollowed out by the power, the force of that water over time. He thought, if mere water can do that to a hard rock, how much more can God's word carve away into my heart of flesh? And he realized it was the slow but steady impact of each small droplet, year after year, that etched its way through that stone. And the author says, when I first started studying the Bible, I wanted a class that would explain it all. If I could learn all the right answers in one event, all the better. But I find now that God likes to reveal truth over many years as I study. I realize that the big splashes aren't usually God's way of doing things, but instead it's the slow drip of study and prayer, day after day, year after year, that he shapes us into what he wants us to be. Brother, what a neat picture. You know, God's word is whittling away, exposing areas that, you know, that need to be changed, molding us and shaping us. And it doesn't always happen immediately, but sometimes God is working over a period of time. And so we need to be patient with others and with ourselves. God accomplishes mighty things in our lives, but we must allow him to be the one to do it. Allow him to work. Don't give up. Don't lose heart when you cannot see the results, but press on. So why is the authority of Scripture a core value of Grace Gospel Church? Why did we include that in our list of things that make us who we are, things that we will not give up no matter what? Well, for many reasons, because it has the power to save. This is the only message that has the power to save. Because God is revealing himself through these pages. Because this is how God shapes and molds us to reflect his character. He exposes us to the truth of his word. This is our instruction manual for life. Without it, life doesn't make much sense. We cannot grow on our walk with God without it. It is the truth that the world desperately needs. We desperately need it. And even though there might be many who reject Scripture today, we cling to the authority of God's Word. But it's not enough just to preach the Word. It's not enough just to open our Bibles. It's not enough even just to study Scripture. We're called to live it out in our daily lives. I've been reading a book, the classic book, Pilgrim's Progress, written by John Bunyan years ago, and I don't think I've ever read it before, but it's a really good book. You should. I've got a couple copies. If you want it, I'll let you have one. But it's about two pilgrims, two travelers. One is named Christian, and he's really the main character. But there's another in the chapter I was reading called Faithful, who was walking alongside him along the way. And they met up with a man whose name was Talkative one day. And at first, Talkative seemed like he was going to be a good traveling companion. Well, he had a lot to say, and he knew a lot of things. He knew a lot of the buzzwords. You know, he could talk about spiritual things with ease. You know, and so they're engaging in this great conversation. But the problem was, it soon became apparent that Talkative was all talk. There was no substance. There was no real work inside. And as soon as the conversation drifted to, you know, to practical things, to the outworking of what God is doing in our lives, Talkative didn't have much to say. You know, they were saying, well, how does God's grace work its way out in our lives? Talkative said, well, I know how. You know, we speak out against sin. He said, well, yeah, that's true, but we need to do more than that. You know, what about having a conviction of sin in our own lives? Having a concern for changing to be more like Christ? Well, Talkative got real quiet. And the more they talked, and the more things became more personal and, you know, real, not just theory. You know, Talkative didn't like what he was hearing. He didn't want to be convicted. He didn't want to be challenged. And so he quickly left those other two travelers. The point is that as we share God's word, it's not just to be talk. You know, we're not called to talk the talk, but to walk the talk. If we really value the authority of Scripture, then we're not just content to study it, and we're not just content to proclaim it. But more than that, our desire is to live it out in our daily lives. We ask God to change us, to use his word in the hands of his Spirit to change our hearts and our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. We thank you for the challenge that it brings us. We realize, Lord, that we are living in difficult times, and we know, Lord, that it's not going to get easier. And so help us to remain true. As this passage, these verses originally challenged young Timothy to continue in his ministry, being faithful, preaching the word, may we also find encouragement to do the same. Lord, we thank you that this is a Bible-teaching church, and I pray, Lord, that it would continue to be. Lord, help us not to be seduced by the desire to be popular or to be liked by the world, but help us to care more about your opinion and your thoughts of us, that we would want to please you. We want to preach the truth. We also want to do so with love. Help us to share your word in every opportunity, that many lives would be saved and that your name would be glorified. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace. In the name of Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen.